You're listening to Green Building and Sustainable Development with your host, Kim Shanahan.
Hey, folks, welcome to Green Building and Sustainable Development. This is Kim Shanahan, your host. I'm really glad you're tuning in. And I hope you're actually out driving around. I hope you're on the Parade of Homes tour because this is our final weekend of the parade. We had our first weekend, obviously, last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Great response, really great traffic. We're doing a little bit better than we actually did a year ago, so we're trending in the right direction. There's only 16 homes on the tour this year, a little bit less than we've had in the past, but the good news about that is that you can see them all. And this past Tuesday, we had our gala at the La Fonda Hotel where we acknowledge all of our entrants. We all get together and have a good time and celebrate the fact that we've got our homes finished and that we've got the public out there looking at them. And we also hand out awards, quite a few awards, as a matter of fact. However, the biggest award of the show, and has been for many years, is something we call the Grand Hacienda. This is an award that is very cherished by those who win it. In years past, you can see in some of folks' marketing that they are very proud of that and always put it in their marketing. And this year, we actually have a brand new winner, someone who's never had a home in the Parade of Homes before, but his entrant was certainly deserving. It's really a remarkable, remarkable house. So in the studio today, we have the winner of this year's Grand Hacienda, Mr. Jesse Grease. So Jesse, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim. I'm thrilled to be here, and I've been really excited to be a part of the Parade of Homes. I've been on the tour in the past, but as you said, this is my first entry, and it's actually my personal house. It's a small infill lot right in town, and I've really poured my heart out into it.
Yeah, you know, you can tell, and the judges actually acknowledged that too. They came back from their the judging tour that they did and just came back, and they were raving about your house. They really just couldn't say enough good things about it. Jesse, I got to say, though, that one of the comments I heard from the gala was about what a great speech you gave acknowledging your winning entry.
Well, I was nervous as can be, but, you know, really I just, I was so grateful to be there and to have received the Grand Hacienda Award. It was nothing I ever expected. Like I said, our house is a small infill lot. It's actually only got a 1,500 square foot footprint. I didn't expect to be up for that award at all. I was excited for best craftsmanship in my field, you know, and some other smaller awards, but I didn't even think I was a candidate. So I was a little dazed when I gave that speech, I've got to say.
Well, you did the politic thing. The first thing you did is acknowledge that you were in a room with the best builders in Santa Fe. And I actually have been saying that now for a few weeks, that we really do get the best builders in Santa Fe as part of this Parade of Homes. But you did a very smart thing by kind of acknowledging your peers. And I think that they were probably all touched and grateful for it. So that was cool. That was very cool.
Well, it was genuine. I mean, when I looked around the room and I saw these builders who I've been hearing about for years, and that they were my peers and I was their competition, because I didn't really feel like their competition. I've been a small word of mouth builder doing custom homes. I've never advertised at all. It's actually just been word of mouth, and I make a point of making my clients happy and becoming friends with them. And so we've typically had long relationships.
Well, you know, one of the things I've been saying for the last couple of years, and as a matter of fact, I was quoted in the New Mexican in last Sunday's paper about the fact that because we really aren't building spec homes in our market anymore, it's allowed a little bit more personal freedom. We're not putting out that kind of typical vanilla Santa Fe style logs in the ceilings, puffy walls, that we've seen a little bit of it more edge, a little bit more contemporary kind of design. And so your house certainly kind of fits that description to the T. And this is your personal house. So I presume you've either been around Santa Fe long enough to have that log and round wall sort of wear off, or maybe you've just brought a sensibility that you've always had. So what led you into doing something a little bit edgier?
Well, I mean, I've always had a passion for modern, except for a home, I really wanted to add some of these traditional elements as well. I've been in Santa Fe going on 15 years, and I love it. It's home. I came here from northern New Hampshire, and they're worlds apart. But Santa Fe, I just feel like I fit perfectly into the beautiful artist community that it is. That's why I came here. I have built many traditional homes, Santa Fe style, you know, soft curves and vigas, and And I enjoy that, but I wanted to get away from it for my own personal house. And yet at the same time, I didn't want to live in something that felt cold or museum-esque in any way. I love those details, but not for where I'm going to live. So I really combined the two styles is how I look at it.
Yeah, I think so.
We have soft curves. We have 200-year-old Sabino beams with this ancient character to them. But we have steel details throughout the house. We have black and steel windowsills and a kiva that's actually floating off the ground, a cantilevered structure.
Right.
And this was the first house I was able to bring those two styles together, and it feels like home to me. It's modern, but it's warm and inviting, and I'm so excited to live there.
Well, I know, and the two beautiful women in your lives, Carla, your wife, and your daughter, Lena, are certainly very excited about the fact that you guys are going to move in, because you just finished that house just before the parade. I mean, you were kind of wrapping up the details when the judges showed up, weren't you?
Well, just before the judges showed up. I think we had a 30-second window where I was the only person in the house, and I was actually changing so as to be presentable for the judges. And, you know, I kicked my guys out 30 seconds before the judges got there. But the important part is we did finish every little detail. They were touching up minute little aspects of the house right before the judges arrived. And they finished the last one, and then the judges showed up. And if they hadn't finished the last one, I might not be sitting here today.
Well, and your attention to detail is obviously on full display when folks go to see that house. You mentioned the steel and the ironwork, and I want to get back into that a little bit later. But one of the things that really blew me away was, and this house, I should say, is a two-story house, but it's unique in Santa Fe that the second story is not high, it's low. It's got a basement, a full basement, finished basement. But the steel work that goes down that stairs was just flawless.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And Carla did say that that was actually salvaged off of a job from some other job, and you had to kind of rework some things, obviously.
Quite a few aspects of the house are actually salvaged off of a job or dropped from materials from a job. Our bathroom counters, all of them are remnants. One of them I worked myself, which I really enjoyed. The stainless steel that surrounds the stairwell is all left over from another job. I had this wonderful stainless steel cable rail job with a variety of stock sizes, and it was a really large job. I had to order a little extra stock because it took a month and a half to come in, and if something had happened and I miscut a piece, I would have needed to have that,
right. But
I didn't miscut any pieces, and so I ended up with enough length of stainless steel to do the stair rail and the handrail surrounding the staircase.
And did you know when you ordered it that you might someday employ it in your own home?
Oh, no. I've coveted the material. I loved it. But I've had that for probably 2.5 years.
Really? Yeah. Well, I was searching diligently for the evidence of the miter cuts where you actually had to cut and, you know, weld them together, and I couldn't find them. So you must have done a lot of polishing or grinding or both.
I'm happy to hear that you couldn't find them. I left a few exposed welds, and I'm very proud of those welds. I feel like a good weld should look like fish scales.
Yeah.
Maybe bass, not trout.
Right. Ones you can see. Yeah. Not carp. But more like bass. Yeah.
But all of my other welds, I don't think you should be able to detect that material was joined at all. And I have some specialized finishing tools, really specialized little sander that I've never seen anyone else own. And I've had one since I was 14.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It's just a very small belt sander made by Makita. They no longer make them, actually.
One of those like 2-inch wide belts or something?
Inch and an eighth.
Inch and
by,
an eighth. Wow.
18 inch. And one side has a hard platen behind it, and the other is soft, and it conforms to almost any radius. You know, it feels like an extension of my hand. I've been using this tool for so long.
And you can still buy belts for it. Or you have to make
your
own.
I buy a different size belt and cut them down. Uh-huh. So I just alter the width. I could have them specially made, but there's no need.
Gosh, that was a tool I never had, actually.
Well, growing up in a little cabinet shop in northern New Hampshire, I learned to work a variety of materials at an early age, and I've just never stopped.
Well, and I wanted to get to that. I'm glad you brought it up. You did grow up in northern New Hampshire in a little cabinet shop, and that's because your dad is a cabinet maker, right?
That's right. He made the cabinets in our parade house.
Did he make them KD, knock down, and ship them out, or did he send them out as boxes? How'd you guys?
No, they were all fully assembled. We did take the doors and the faces off the drawers, but I actually went back east very briefly this summer for my grandmother's memorial, mm-hmm. and you know, it was really a celebration of her life, and she was such a wonderful, wonderful woman. The return trip, I came back in a giant rental truck. And with my father and all the cabinetry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it was my brief 2-day vacation, which didn't feel all that much like a vacation.
Cross-country trips are cool, though.
Yeah, it was a great road trip. Yeah. It was.
Especially doing one with your dad. That would be fun.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to spend a lot of time together, you know, being on opposite sides of the country. But growing up, we did road trip all through Canada and the U.S.
Right.
And so it was a little reminiscent of that.
Yeah, I did a couple road trips with my son, who's only 24. And when I do these road trips with him, he schools me on hip-hop because it's nothing but hip-hop and rap for 2 days straight. So I've got the whole history of hip-hop and become actually kind of a fan, actually, believe it or not. Hey, folks, stay tuned. We're going to come back with Jesse Grease. Jesse is the proud recipient of our Grand Hacienda in our Parade of Homes. It's going on right now. I mean, right this minute, it's going on. So you need to get over to 205 Cordova.
That's
right?
Correct.
205 Cordova. It's kind of back off the street. Stop in and introduce yourself to Jesse and just look at this house. It'll blow you away. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after this. Hey, folks, welcome back. This is Kim, your host. This is, of course, Green Building and Sustainable Development. And this is the second week of the Parade of Homes. And, of course, the parade is brought to you by the same people who bring you this radio station or this radio show every week, and that's the Santa Fe Area Home Builders Association, home of Santa Fe's progressive builders and a place where I get to call home. And I'm so pleased with that. And one of the reasons I'm so pleased with it is because we put on this Parade of Homes every year. I think it's our 22nd annual parade. Obviously, back in the heyday of speculative home construction, we had a lot of homes on the parade that were actually for sale. There's really only a couple out there of the 16 that are for sale. Most of the homes have been built for clients. The exception, one of the exceptions, however, is the home that we're talking about today. And that's the home of Jesse Grease and his wife Carla and his daughter Lena. And it is a showstopper, folks. It really is just an amazing house. And it's so fun to see our Grand Hacienda winner come with a really kind of contemporary edge to it. And another thing, we actually had three pricing categories in our judging this year. I think we had everything under about 650, and then we had 650 to a million, and everything over a million. And in the past, honestly, very often our Grand Hacienda has come from our highest price points. Not this year. Jesse's home was in the less expensive or the more affordable tier. And that's a really testament to the hard work that Jesse's put into us, because as Jesse said earlier, he not only won the Grand Hacienda, he won a whole passel of awards, including Best Craftsmanship. And I know from being a former builder myself, there almost is no better award than the Grand Hacienda than to get the Best Craftsmanship. Jesse, do you agree? Does that craftsmanship resonate with you?
Best Craftsmanship was what I was going for. That was the award I coveted more than any other, but that's only because I didn't think I would possibly be in the running for the Grand Hacienda. Best Craftsmanship and Best Design, you know, we received both those awards in our price bracket, and I was really interested in those. We also received quite a few green awards, which our house, it has an emerald rating, and that's very important to me. I'm not positive that we are the first, but I know there aren't many houses to receive an emerald rating without the use of solar or geothermal, both of which are absolutely fantastic systems, but for me, they were prohibitively expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly couldn't have brought this house in on the budget that I did if I implemented one of those systems. I did, however, set the house up four photovoltaics. I've got the panels all sized out for the roof. And down the road, we are interested in purchasing a photovoltaic system. But to achieve Emerald without either of those systems, I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, that is significant. That really speaks to the detailing you had to do on the shell of the home itself. When you say Emerald, well, there's a couple different Emeralds out there. There's the City of Santa Fe's Emerald, and you are in the City of Santa Fe, so you obviously needed to adhere to the City of Santa Fe's Green Building Code. But then there's also the Build Green New Mexico, which is based on the National Association of Home Builders National Green Building Standard. So Emerald for both of those criteria?
Emerald for both of those criteria, yes.
And so the Emerald, that presumes then with Build Green New Mexico that you were actually taking advantage of the tax credits that are out there as
well. Oh, absolutely. That was really exciting.
It's like $9 a square foot or something crazy.
I think it's $9.60 a square foot, and it should be a real incentive for anyone looking to build a house. I mean, not only are these houses so much healthier to live in, which is, you know, should be really important to all of us, but the fact that there is an incentive-based system out there where you'll get some pretty major tax credits for implementing these green strategies in your home.
So most of our listeners are familiar with the HERS rating, the Home Energy Rating System, that measures how efficient you are on a scale of 1 to 100. Mm-hmm. Where'd you come in?
We're at a 52, which means we use 48% less electricity, or less energy, I should say, than a standard new home. We're happy with that. I think that was great. When we eventually have solar put in, I would like to be somewhere closer to zero.
Sure, sure. You know, one of the things that people say about the Emerald designation, both for the city and for the state, Build Green New Mexico, is that resource efficiency is often one of the hardest things to do. But you mentioned these 200-year-old Sabino beams, but I think that you probably also were able to use, some interesting recycled materials. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And we actually got the Green Award for resource efficiency in our category. There's an economy that goes along with resource efficiency, and that's one of the reasons we were able to bring our house in at a very affordable budget. There are a lot of pieces in our house that are refurbished or recycled, and if you can reuse something, it's so much better than recycling, than having it melted down again. We mentioned earlier, you know, the stainless steel in the house. There are quite a few other steel pieces that were rusted scrap that we turned into something beautiful.
Really, huh? Steel in itself typically has a pretty high resource or recycled content anyway, right?
Well, steel is typically about 98% recycled, but it has a high embodied energy cost.
Sure.
So there are always, you know, offsets and pluses and minuses to almost any material.
Right, right. Huh.
We also were able to use, we have a wonderful Viking range. I absolutely love it. It's a 6-burner Viking range, and you can melt chocolate on a paper plate on this thing.
Wow.
It's refurbished, and we restored it ourselves. Also, we have outside, we have this Great Wolf grill, and it's the same story. A lot of these things that we're using, they're not new, but they are in impeccable condition. And with a little, you know, TLC, they are as good as new.
Well, there's nothing like a contractor who's poor to create the mother of necessity,
which That's is, right.
I remember early in my career that, I built a house that had all of its interior walls framed out of pallets, and it was sort of like trying to demonstrate that you could do it, but it was also because I pulled them out of the dump. So, and you're a relatively young guy, and you've got a young family, so I would imagine that, you know, by hook or crook and scrambling around and finding those things is fun, but it's also kind of a necessity too, right?
It certainly was a necessity. We have been collecting these materials for years. And that adds a lot of the beauty and the intimacy to our home, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Those old Sabino beams.
Sabino, by the way, is a species of tree, obviously.
It's a species of tree. It's no longer harvested, and I fully support that. But these antiques, you know, they were pulled out of another house, and they were in rough shape, and we were able to restore them, and they are just gorgeous. And I really, you know, cherish having those in my home. And, you know, mixing that old feeling element, and it truly is an old antique, with some of these new modern materials, the stainless steel or the blackened steel.
Right.
Or even just, you know, our transom window, which frames some of the trees around on our little infill lot.
Right. I'm sure Carla must be really happy to see that pile of junk get out of the backyard and actually get employed in a real house.
She's thrilled because, I mean, storing that stuff for years, it just doesn't leave you with a great feeling having it around. So using it at last, then I do have that wonderful, you know, feeling inside.
Yeah. Well, hey, folks, stay with us. We're going to come back and continue with Jesse Grease. Jesse's company is called Green Star Builders, and you should stop by at 205A Cordova. It's kind of just down the street from Galisteo, half a block down from Body. And it's, parking's a little bit tight, but Jesse's got somebody out there directing traffic. So you can get in and see the home and go stop in and meet Jesse and Carla and Lena. Lena is actually kind of your first guest. She's often out in the parking lot welcoming people to come in, and she's just the charming, sweetest little girl. And great family, great house. You got to stop in and see it. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this, and we're going to continue with Jesse Grease. Stay tuned. Walk right in. Hey, folks, welcome back. This is Kim, your host. This is Green Building Sustainable Development, and it is Parade of Homes weekend. Boy, it is an incredible weekend, actually. Indian market's going on. The town is packed. We've got the opera going on. Might even get some afternoon showers. That's always a blessing. But big part of this weekend, certainly, is the Parade of Homes. It's going on all day today. Until 6 o'clock, and then it picks up again tomorrow and Sunday from 11 to 6. And it's a self-guided tour. If you can find one house, and you should probably start at Jesse's house at 205A Cordova, you can pick up a magazine. It has a map in there. We've also got young ticket sellers at the doors for all the houses. I think this weekend we are supporting Santa Fe High's soccer team. So we've got some kids from the soccer team who volunteered to go out and sell some tickets for us. Tickets are only $15 per person, and that allows you to go into any house on any day, today or tomorrow. And as I said, with only 16 homes on the parade, you can really hit them all. And they really are spread out. We've got some down on 285, down on the Galisteo Basin Preserve. That's about as far south as we go, but there's about three or four kind of on that side of town. We've got a number of them kind of in town, including Jesse's house, and then a few kind of out in our traditional areas on the north side of town, the hills above Bishop's Lodge. Will Pruhl's got one there. Will's also got one in Monte Sereno, I think a couple in Monte Sereno. Only one in Las Campanas this year, but it definitely is also worth going to see. It's been built by our Parade of Homes standby. I think this is one of the first years that the Tierra Concept fellows didn't win the Grand Hacienda. I think they've won that Grand Hacienda like four times, probably more than any other builder in town. And they certainly are really one of our top-notch builders. Also another interesting house that was done by Woods, Sharon Woods and her sons, Rob and Shane. And this house was actually Rob's personal house that they remodeled. But it's certainly got that Woods touch of old classic perfection that the Sharon Woods and her clan bring to bear. So all kinds of cool stuff there in the parade. But we're talking with the Grand Hacienda winner today, and that's Jesse Grease, Green Star Builders. So Jesse, how's the traffic been?
Oh, the traffic's been constant. I feel a little bit like I'm, caught up in a whirlwind. I want to talk to everybody, and I haven't been able to, but luckily my wife and daughter are there, and Lena, who's 11, gives one of the best tours you can imagine.
She is good. Yeah. She is very good.
We were discussing some of the green aspects of our house.
Let's go back to that.
There were a few points I wanted to touch on. Every house nowadays has what's called a blower door test, where they kind of put a tent on your door with a fan, and it sucks all the air out of your house to a certain pressure. I believe it's 50 pascals,
yeah.
And then there are pressure monitoring devices that are hooked up to a Mac, in my case, which I thought was fantastic. They measure how tight your house is, how much air infiltrates your house under this pressure. And I believe the standard new home built in America to today's code is around 384 air exchanges per hour.
Well, it's probably even higher than that, honestly. We think that when there's when it's tighter than 3.5 air exchanges per hour, you know, we in our new city code, we kick in the protocols of ASHRAE 62.2, which is basically says you should have mechanical ventilation. But honestly, most of the average homes in America are probably in the realm of 5 to 7 air exchanges per hour, which is a pretty baggy home, quite frankly.
Sure. Well, that was one of the aspects of my house that I was really proud of. We have a traditional kiva. We have a large kitchen vent hood. We don't have triple pane windows, another aspect I couldn't afford.
Right.
We have an air exchange rate of 1.01 per hour.
Wow.
One of the tightest houses around, I think.
There's a couple out there who are, believe it or not, even tighter than that. Some of the passive house guys are really coming in.
Well, the passive, they get down around 0.36 air exchanges per hour, which is absolutely amazing.
They're
using
0.1 is actually really about as tight as I've heard. Yeah.
Right. Well, that is fantastic. For my house to achieve this with, the traditional technology and having an exterior vented hood, I was extremely proud of that.
Yeah, that's huge. That's great. But that also means that you have to do air exchanges, and you've employed, I believe, an ERV or an HRV.
We have a full HEPA filtration HRV system.
Right, right.
And that's fantastic. It takes stale air from the house and it crosses it through a radiator type assembly with fresh air that's coming in. So in the middle of winter, it takes the hot air from your house and it takes a bunch of that heat and warms the cold air that's coming in.
Right, right. Well, and I don't think you have a cooling system in your house, right?
So well, we don't have a traditional cooling system.
But I have found from my own personal experience that HRV actually can work as a cooling system. If it's running 24/7, for instance, in the summertime, even though we might be 90 degrees during the day, we're still in the high 50s, low 60s at night. And so that same idea of the heat exchange allows that cooler air to kind of be mixing with that internal hotter air. And are you finding that to be true?
Well, that's absolutely the case, and that's one of the beautiful things about Santa Fe is that it does cool off at night like that. However, I've implemented another system that's similar, but we can bring in that cool air all night. But then if your house feels warm during the day, well, we have 3,000 square feet total, and 1,500 of it is the lower level.
Of course.
Which
is
a fully finished basement. It's beautiful. It's where I like to spend a lot of my time with natural light wells. So, in a portion of the basement, probably half of the basement, you can read a book during the day without turning on a light.
Well, yeah, true.
But the other thing that that's useful for is that basement stays at 65 degrees year-round.
Uh-huh.
And we can use the the HRV system to bring cold air in during the night. But during the day, we can put it on recirc mode, and it will take that basement air and it will put it upstairs. So we bring that 65-degree temperature air to the upstairs, and that is, our almost free air conditioning.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's very sensible. The basement, we don't see a lot of basements in Santa Fe, and this is a very, very tight infill lot, I think.
It certainly is.
Were you out there digging that with an army of guys and shovels? Did you get some machines back there?
I was thrilled not to have to hand dig it, but we could not fit a backhoe. We had no access for a backhoe. That entire basement was filled with, excavated with a bobcat.
Wow.
And it turned out to be a pretty efficient process,
Where'd the dirt go?
Well, we piled the dirt out front only because we didn't want any of it to go to the landfill.
Huh.
And so I placed ads on Craigslist and called every builder I could think of. And we gave dirt away to anyone who needed fill. Yeah. And it was nice, clean fill. And I'm thrilled about that.
Any cool artifacts in the dirt?
No, it was
really?
All clean. There weren't even many
no
big
bodies,
rocks.
No bodies, no nothing, huh?
Nothing at all. And with the depth we went down, I really expected to find something interesting. But in the end, I was glad we didn't.
Yeah, I've found bodies doing excavations and building homes here in Santa Fe. Found one in the commons.
Oh, well, we've got such a lengthy and rich history here.
Yeah.
I still hope to avoid that.
Well, I guess 40, 50 years ago, Cordova was out on the edge of town, believe it or not.
Sure.
I was reading the other day, and 50 years ago, it was still like a dirt road on Cordova. But, you also have something that really, because you got an award for best indoor air quality.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think a big part of that was your living wall.
It's the first living wall that I've built, and I read up on it a lot, and I do have a background in hydroponics, but it is such a satisfying, beautiful thing to have in my home, and I am thrilled with it.
It's very cool. It's kind of in the stairwell, so as the plants grow, they're going to kind of cascade down the stairwell, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It waters itself 3 times a day, and it's got an organic hydroponic solution by Fox Farms as a supplement. I planted a variety of plants, partially, you know, part of the experiment, really, and it turns out all of them are thriving.
Oh, yeah.
But we do have vines that will trail down the stair, and the oxygen that brings us, there are so many plants on that wall. And that, better than anything else, will filter out indoor pollutants, carbon dioxide, and, you know, replenish the air with oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's cool also that it's really kind of low maintenance in the sense that it does water itself, and I presume a kind of a recycled phenomena.
It is, yeah. There's a catchment pan at the bottom, a reservoir, and the water is recycled. It doesn't just go down the drain each time.
Right.
And it has been pretty maintenance-free so far. It seems like it's going to continue on.
Well, obviously, the plants are new because your house is relatively is new. But when I first saw it, I thought, sure, they were plastic from like Hobby Lobby.
Oh, they were
so perfect.
They've been, some of them have been established for 4 to 5 weeks now, and some of the others only about 2 weeks.
Right.
They're all doing well. I think the biggest maintenance on the wall might end up being trimming the plants back when they get too large.
Yeah, because some of them are that kind of cascading kind of vine sort of thing. You know, back to the basement, It's a beautiful basement. What did you use for walls? Did you use like an insulated concrete form?
We didn't want to use an insulated concrete form in the basement because we wanted that 65 degree ambient temperature in the earth to really flow in.
Uh-huh.
So we used a 10-inch CMU that's waterproofed on the outside, and then they're all solid filled with this great product called Zypex. And it's a concrete additive that's actually this crystalline structure. And down the road, if we for some reason have a crack in that wall, this crystalline structure will grow, fill that void, and re-waterproof it.
Really?
Yeah. And then we didn't even sheetrock the inside of our basement walls. Instead, we put a third waterproofing membrane, and then we mudded directly over that. And the reason we didn't want the sheetrock is that it would act as a thermal break.
Sure. Wow. That's a little counterintuitive. I mean, that's interesting that you had the, I guess, the guts or the vision to recognize that you wanted that constant temperature from that basement wall. Yeah, wow.
I also had some fantastic guidance from Steve Volstead, my HERS raider.
Right.
He's been fantastic to work with.
Smart guy.
I really value the relationship.
Yeah. Hey, folks, stay tuned with us because I love talking to Jesse because he's such a cool technical guy, and I just love that sort of stuff. When we come back, we got one more segment with Jesse, and then after we finish up, you need to get over to Jesse's house and see what we're talking about. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after this. Hey, folks, welcome back. Hope you've been sticking with us, and if you're just joining us, we are doing we're interviewing the winner of the Grand Hacienda, the Parade of Homes this year, and that's Jesse Grease of Green Star Builders. His home is open for the tour right now, right as we're speaking, at 205A West Cordova. As a matter of fact, we recorded the show on Thursday, and I bet that Jesse's not even listening to it today because he's probably already got a house full of people. And luckily, though, we are podcast. Jesse and Carla and Lena will be able to listen to the show at their leisure on SantaFe.com whenever they want to. Just go to SantaFe.com, click on the KTRC button, click on Green Building, Pod Archives. Is that about right, Gino? I got about right? Yeah. And there it is. So, yeah, tune in. Finishing up here with Jesse. And, Jesse, we were talking about this incredible house, and you were talking about, you know, some bizarre crystals that will grow into cracks. It almost sounds like too scientific or too science fiction almost to imagine.
The Zypex concrete additive, yeah.
Dude, what do? Just like spend all night on the internet researching stuff? I mean, do you ever sleep?
Oh, I do. I really need to catch up on some sleep, actually. Although for the last 7 months, there hasn't been much of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was really focused on the house. And I'm so excited, you know, that my family supported me through this process because I sacrificed my summer to pay attention to the minute little details that I care about so much on every project. And on this house, we put so many of them in, you know, down to the glass door and the flue assembly on the fireplace. Most things in this house are handmade, either by myself, my crew, or local craftsmen and artists as well.
Well, speaking of crew, for some reason I think of you as a one-person show, but you have a crew of people that are with you.
All your projects. Yeah, and we can build everything from the ground up. We can do every aspect of the job, although we have fantastic subs that we usually delegate a lot of aspects of the job to. Extremely valued relationships with those subcontractors. Some of them go back 8 years.
How many are actually on your crew, though?
I have a crew of four.
Really?
And they each have their own particular role, and they're fantastic. Mm-hmm. I value my relationships with them. Some of them, you know, Cody Hadley's been with me for 7 years now.
Right. Well, so when you were working on your house and dedicating the last 6-7 months to every little minute detail, as you said, were you also doing other jobs as well? Or did you kind of take a break?
We took one fantastic job. We had a few small jobs, and then we got called in by Peter Brill of Sarcon Construction.
Oh, yeah, good guy.
He's fantastic. I loved working with him. It was a really stressful job environment. We were finishing off the new wing of St. John's College.
Doing the construction or the steel work?
All the steel fabrication, actually. And I'm sorry, I'm not all of the steel fabrication, but a large portion of it.
The visible steel, not necessarily the structural steel?
Not the structural steel. Right. We were doing interior wrought iron handrails for all the stairs.
Wow.
And
your work is not really a forge kind of work, is it? I mean, you don't have a forge,
oh,
do you?
Of course we have a forge and
really?
An anvil. I
oh,
came out from the East Coast with college debt, a forge and an anvil. Yeah.
Wow.
However, a lot of the parts were actually fabricated or forged, I should say, at some local blacksmith shops.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were handed to us to assemble, to cut and alter and fit into these flowing staircases.
Yeah. Wow.
Which was quite a challenge. When we showed up on the job, all the steel fabrication was supposed to be complete. And so my crew worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for 3 weeks. And we finished that job for them in time for the final closing.
Wow.
And it was great. It was really hard. And I sort of love doing things like that, coming in and playing hero for another contractor.
Well, it's interesting, Jesse. I mean, you certainly are painting yourself as the Renaissance guy that you are, because you also mentioned that you won an award for best design. You know, back in the day when builders were building specs, a lot of builders thought, you know, I can design a house. I've been building them for other people for all these years. But often you could tell, frankly, that it was a builder-designed house because, you know, they didn't have the training of architecture. They didn't really understand how important the flow of rooms were and the way we connect spaces and so on. But we did have architects as part of our judges, and some really good ones, Beverly Spears, John Dick, somebody else, but I'm kind of forgetting who it was. But
Harvey Monroe?
Harvey Monroe. Yeah. Well, he was one of the green judges, I think.
Oh, that's right.
But anyway, they gave you best design. I mean,
and I was so thrilled to receive it.
But have you done home design for other builders?
I have done, not for other builders, no. Only in-house home design on, you know, houses that we have built. We've done design in-house. And I think about these things all the time.
Right.
I think about the minute little details and how things flow. And it's very important to me. And I do have a love of architecture. And, you know, for John Dick and Beverly Spears to come through my house, I was honored just to have them come through my house.
Yeah,
award for best design in my category. It's quite an honor.
Yeah.
I love working with architects as well as other designers. But for this project, you know, we really needed to do it ourselves.
Well, and then you also are a subcontractor to many of the builders who actually were in the parade and some who are not, as a steel fabricator, as a high-end, super high-finish steel fabrication, right?
Absolutely, and I love to do that as well. Really, I mean, from a very young age, I have a passion for building things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I make Damascus kitchen knives. I work all sorts of different materials. We landscaped this house ourselves and set most of the moss rock ourselves. And I really just have a passion for building.
So if you found the perfect client coming through your home this weekend or last, obviously they would say, we want to hire you to design for us, build for us, and we love your steel work and your fabrication, so we want it all. But if you couldn't get that perfect client, what would be your first love? Design, fabrication, or home building?
Fabrication and home building.
Yeah.
And the reason I put those two together is usually when people see my portfolio, the two go hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
Everybody always adds custom steel details
right.
to the homes I build for them.
Uh-huh. It's funny because we don't think of steel as a warm element. But your window jams, for instance, which are the blackened steel and the window steels, they really are. They have that a warmth to them almost that you wouldn't necessarily think of with metal. I mean, is that an intention? It must be.
It is. I really like to take a hard material, something rigid and unyielding, and actually make it feel soft and something you want to touch. And, you know, with my fireplace hearths, which are soft blackened steel, I've had architects think they were soapstone until they
right.
sat on them.
And
then they were really
cold.
They were really surprised, actually. Yeah. It has a subtly different quality,
yes,
but also a much more longevity. Soapstone tends to crack in that application.
Well, and once that fireplace warms up, that cold steel gets pretty darn warm, I would imagine.
You know, they're designed with a thermal break.
Sure.
They don't get hot out on the hearth. Yeah.
Hey, folks, we're just about out of time. And Jesse, by the way, I'm going to put you on the spot because I told you, you and Chris Long from Realer Construction, that you 30-something guys need to be taken over this association.
And I have really, so much respect for Chris.
Well, and I'm serious about that. I was quoted in the last Sunday's New Mexico that we're an association of aging white men, which is kind of true, unfortunately. But you're not. You're in that millennium, if not Gen Y kind of generation. And, you know, this is your association, and you guys need to step up and really drive it in the future, and I hope you will. Folks, you really need to get out and see Jesse's home, 205 A Cordova Road. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you very much for having me, Kim. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure, too. See you next week, folks.
Keep on knocking, but you can't knock it, but you can't.